If you must attend a conference or corporate event, there's nothing that makes the audience more disinterested than a guest speaker who's A, nervous, or B, unprepared, or worse still, makes you sit through a long and boring presentation. Malcolm Dawes has had a long career in people, performance and effectiveness in the corporate world and has some handy tips for us about public speaking. And we're joining him this morning. Good morning to you, Malcolm.
Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Going very well, thank you, and very pleased to have you as part of the show. I don't know whether Caro, the producer, explained to you the background to her coming up with the idea of talking to you, but the listeners won't be aware of it, so I will brief them accordingly.
Sure.
I accidentally sent her a copy of a PowerPoint presentation that I was meant to send to another Caroline, and I think that tempted her to, when she saw a press release that talked about you and public speaking and PowerPoints, she thought, there's a reason for this. This is fate. This must happen.
Right.
I'm going to set you a task, Malcolm. So you've got three different audiences, and I'm wondering if you could tell me how you might approach them differently. So the first audience is an audience I know reasonably well. That's farmers, right? That's the first audience. Second audience is students, because I suspect that the way you would approach them would be different from farmers. And the third audience is a workplace, so a busy office. So if you were presenting, let's go first to the farmers, what sort of way, how would the audience alter your presentation?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head right away, Craig. The thing is that most presentations, and although I didn't see the one you mentioned, I've seen plenty of them, most presentations don't even take the audience into consideration. So they're usually all about the presenter rather than what the audience wants. So whether it's an audience of farmers, whether it's an audience of students, whether it's a workplace audience, it's the most important. You can present the same content and the same information, but you need to provide something of value to them. So it's all about changing the way in which you present the content, which appeals to that audience. So we could be presenting about anything. We could be presenting about how to have a radio interview, for example, to those three audiences. But you need to adjust content so that it has appeal to them. And I guess one of the things then is that people say, well, how do I know who my audience is? Well, part and parcel of the role of a presenter is to actually do some research. And that could be tricky, but there will be somebody and the person that you referred to before who sent a presentation to you, which you then forwarded to Caroline, you would be able to speak to them about, well, who is going to be in the audience? What do they want? Why are they coming along? What can I help them with? How can I educate them? How can I entertain them? And so really it's very much the tip number one, if you like, is knowing your audience, providing something of value to them, and knowing that it's not about you, the presenter, it's about them, the audience.
We're talking to Malcolm Dawes this morning, and we're talking about tips for public speaking. And very cleverly, you evaded my question. We didn't actually come up with a separate strategy for each of those different audiences. But you made the very good point that you need to find value for each of those audiences. Malcolm, it's my experience that so many people hide behind blooming PowerPoint presentations. What is the and yet, if you on the internet look at TED Talks and those sort of things, clearly it can be used to absolutely ram home a point, entertain, inform. What is the trick with PowerPoints? Because so many people just whack those slides up there and then read the damn information that's on there that everybody else can read anyway.
Correct. And I think we've live in an age now, obviously, and have done for many years with PowerPoint, where we don't present anymore, we PowerPoint. Mm. And presenting is about, as I said before, what the presenter can bring to the audience. And PowerPoint should be simply a means by which to support a message. And as you rightly say, Craig, there's so many times when there's a screen full of text, which then means that the presenter makes, you know, one of the many mistakes that presenters can can make, which is to look at the screen and read something off the screen, which means several things. Firstly, it means that the back is to the audience, and anybody who's listening to somebody present wants to not only listen to them, but wants to see them, or wants to engage with them as a person. The other thing it does is sort of insults the audience, because if you've got something on a screen, most people in the audience are probably likely to be able to read it anyway. And thirdly, why would you have something on a screen which simply repeats what you're saying anyway? So even if you don't perform the cardinal sin of turning your back on the audience and reading from the screen, you're just reading something which they can see. So the idea of a PowerPoint, to my mind, is you have a simple picture, for example, and those people that might use PowerPoint will be familiar perhaps with the area on the screen, on the computer when they're creating a presentation, where they can put notes. So everything that you would put on a screen normally, all that text, all those bullet points, should not be on the screen. They should be on the area where you create your notes, and they then become the notes. And so if you want to make a point about working in a university, for example, you mentioned students before, so that's come to mind, you put a picture of some students at university on the screen, and then you make your point about what life is like in a university. So the other thing is, we don't have to use PowerPoint. There's no reason at all why somebody cannot present, and if it's a short presentation, use no PowerPoint. If it's possible, they might be able to use some other medium. For example, they might use a whiteboard or a flip chart, certainly with a smaller audience, not with a bigger audience, because it means it's difficult to see. But we do rely far, far too heavily on PowerPoint, and not only that, we misuse it. And there are some simple tips, if you want me to sort of...
Please do.
...elaborate on those.
Yeah.
There was some research done. This is all based on research. There was some research done about 3 or 4 years ago, which looked at what audiences look for and how their brain works during a presentation. So whether that's a one-to-one presentation, such as, you know, a business-to-business type conversation, or whether it's 1 to 1,000, and our brains work in the same way. You will have heard perhaps that some people are left brain orientated, and that basically means that we're logical, methodical, analytical, and we look for the detail. Some of us are right brain, which means we look for the bigger picture. We're more spontaneous and intuitive. But the truth of the matter is that whether you're left or right brain, we actually switch sides, and we switch sides at different speeds and for different reasons, which means that if you're presenting to an audience, you need to be able to appeal to those people all of the time. So the research further showed that we cannot, as human beings, do two things at once. Some of your listeners may well believe that they can do many things at once, but of course that may be true, but they can never give 100% of their attention to all of those things. So in an audience, they can do one thing 100% of the time. That might be to listen to and engage with the presenter, or they may look at something on a screen. So if you're going to use PowerPoint, then tip number one would be, don't use too many bullet points on a slide. By bullet points, I mean where you have the little dot and then a piece of text next to it. Maybe 3 or 4 bullet points on one slide is sufficient, not any more than that. And then don't have more than 2 or 3 slides in a row with bullet points, because the brain looks at the screen and says, that slide looks the same as the previous slide, and the third slide looks the same as the first slide. And so the audience switches off. So when we become bored, it's not just because we're bored, it's because our brain is actually saying to us, you've seen this before, yes. There's nothing new there, look away. And that's when we reach for our smartphone and start going onto Facebook or Twitter or sending messages to each other saying, isn't this presentation boring? The other tip is not to have too much text on a screen. And as you've alluded to before, sometimes the screen can just be full of text. Whether the presenter's reading it, whether the person's reading it, it's a waste of the opportunity to put something across in a more impactful way.
Look, I'm just going to break in there, Malcolm, to let you know we have about 3 minutes to go before the news. We're talking to Malcolm Dawes, who's an expert on people performance and effectiveness, and he's giving us some tips on public speaking. One of the tips, if you had time, you were about to get to, I suspect, was use personal stories and humour. Can I add to that, only if you can carry it off? Because personal stories and humour that doesn't work goes badly wrong.
Absolutely, yes. And we've all been in rooms, I guess, where a presenter has tried to be the stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And it fails miserably. And when I say humour, it's I guess making things a bit personal. It's engaging with the audience, letting the audience see that you're a real person. I was listening to you earlier on, and the way you engage with an audience is to talk about things that relate to them and that they understand, and you talk in a way which is the way you and I are having a conversation now, and that's the way a presenter should present. So if you're going to use humour, use it appropriately. Don't use inappropriate humour. And if you're somebody that doesn't tell jokes terribly well, then don't tell a joke. It's not about telling jokes. It's about having a bit of lightheartedness, perhaps, within your presentation. So that's really, you know, I'm using a personal story. It means that you can connect. When I present, which funnily enough I'm doing tomorrow morning at a conference about presentation skills, the first 2 or 3 minutes of my presentation is about how I ended up doing what I'm doing, because people go, oh, right, so now I understand. And that's what I mean by a personal story.
That makes perfect sense. Malcolm, I think you've given us a couple of keys. If we had longer, we could have explored a bit more, but given the time constraints, that's a good start.
Thank you very much indeed, Craig. Good to speak with you.
It's Malcolm Dawes. He's an expert on people, performance and effectiveness. So some of the key things... don't rely on PowerPoints. Don't read from PowerPoints. Don't read from a script. Know your audience. Give them value. It's not about you as the presenter. It's about giving them value. Believe in yourself. Do your research. Some good points. Malcolm Dawes, Dawes, had some great points. If indeed you're one of those who finds public speaking a more scary experience than fear of death, which I do find hard to believe, I must say.